Well, man, that's an exciting day for me. I don't know, some of you, a lot of you, most of you are new, but we've been in this space for about a year and a half. And I just look back, I mean, I'm just so grateful to welcome my friend, Pastor Joe Valentino, today. He's going to be preaching. Yeah, come on up. He's going to be preaching today, but, you know, I met Joe, it was about 2.5 years ago, and we met in a coffee shop, you, me, and my dad, and we were talking about this neighborhood, because what happened was a church, I wasn't planning on kind of sharing a little bit, but let's do it. The church I was on staff at sent me out, because a core team of us and the Refuge Ministries, who helps guys struggling with substance abuse, really felt led to plant a church, because we just started to feel this kind of burning within us to plant a church that would be a place for the poor, that would be a place for those that are marginalized, that would be a place for those that maybe don't fit in or don't like fit into the rest of whatever. And not saying we're better or we got to figure it out, we're a mess, but we wanted to be a place like that. And there's a little party house that welcomed us in Grove City, so we started out there, and most Sundays I'd walk in and it smelled like marijuana and beer and urine. So I spent the first part of my morning picking up beer bottles that morning. It was crazy, though. It's kind of nostalgic now. I'm really grateful that we're here. But I met Pastor Joe, it was 2.5 years ago, and he welcomed us to be a part of this space, because we were like, do we plant a church in the hilltop? Do we just relocate? And God just kind of sent us here. We left the suburbs. We're like, man, there's great churches here. A lot of the people decided not to go. We were like, bless you, you know, be a part of something here. We really feel led to go here. And so we started meeting here, and Joe, we've walked together through a lot of transitions and through a lot of things. And this is a friend of mine. He's like a sage in my life. And so I love you. I appreciate you. It's been a fun journey. So would you welcome our friend? He's one of the pastors at Upper Arlington Lutheran Church.
So as Pastor West said, my name is Joe Valentino, and it truly is a privilege to be here and be back with you a little bit. So part of what we're going to talk about today is being used by God. And I have this thought that we all have this desire to be a part of something really going, really exciting, really big. Whether it's a family, whether it's a team, whether it's a group of friends, whether it's a place that we work. We want to be a part of something that's really thriving, that's really good. Am I right? So most of you have some type of apparel that has some sports team on it. And it's usually scarlet and gray, and when they don't win, we get upset, and when they win, we rejoice, and then we flip over, and we watch the Indians, and we watch the Cubs, and because of their situation, we cheer for them, and we're great fans. But I think even deep down, we want to be more than fans. We actually want to play. We want to participate. We want to be used somehow. And whether you're a part of the band or whether you're a part of a church, to be used, to be connected, to be a part, more than just being in the audience and watching. At least that's where my head is at and where I'm thinking that most people are. And I would even go to prove that by thinking about, okay, so I'm looking around the room and most of the men have beards. We want to be a part. I mean, it's good to have a beard. I'm sorry. Because we want to be a part of something. We want to be, you know, and for me, it's just easier. Don't have to worry about shaving. But most of us dress similar. We are just a part of life. And we are a part of our neighborhoods. And we are a part of what goes on around us. Wouldn't it be exciting to be a part of what God is doing? And not only to be a part, but to be actually an important part, to be used by Him, to actually have a role to play where what we do makes a difference. That's the mindset we're going to go at this morning. Is what you have to do as a part of what God is doing makes a difference. So let me pray for us, and then I'm going to jump in here. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the people that you've gathered here. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to be a part of what you're doing in this world, what you're doing in this neighborhood, what you're doing in our families. And so, Father, we want to be used by you. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us. I pray, Father, that you would use me now as I stand before these folks, that you would cleanse me of my sins, that you would use me as a clean instrument, and that you would take my words, Father, and that you would use them in their lives. And if I say something, Father, that's not of you, just snatch it out of the air. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul's desire was to actually be, to communicate to Timothy. And so he sends this book to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy. And so as he sends this book to Timothy, he really cares for Timothy. I mean, this is his son in the faith. And so he's really wanting to make sure that Timothy, as this pastor of this area, really has an idea of what's going on. And so he sends him this letter so that he might be able to really follow what Paul has set before him. And so this letter comes to Timothy from Paul as almost a letter of encouragement and love is where we're going to start. And I'm assuming the slides are not going to happen, it looks like. So we're going to go without slides. So as Paul sends this letter to Timothy, there's a couple pieces in this passage, and you can turn to it if you've got your phone or your Bible. Go ahead and turn to it. 2 Timothy, we're in chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 14, but I'm going to jump down this part here to verse 20. So if you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and open it. And it says this: Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So a couple things I want you to notice here. So he starts off and he talks about that there are different kinds of vessels. So that there's wood, there's clay, there's silver, there's gold. And so often we think of, if it's going to be an honorable vessel, a vessel used by God, it's got to be silver or gold, right? But that's not what it says. It says that there are many vessels. There are vessels of silver and gold and pottery, clay, and wood. And what sets them apart, what's different, is whether they are clean or not. Now, I'm going to get just a little graphic here, so excuse the graphicness, but it'll make the point. You'll get it. So some of us, you know, a really nice set of porcelain china. Clean porcelain china, really nice. Now, you also now imagine in your head porcelain as in a throne. You understand where I'm going? A toilet. Porcelain. So you have porcelain that is fine china, and you have porcelain that is not so fine. What sets them apart other than the size and the shape and where they're located? One is clean and one is not so clean. Both porcelain. If you're eating in the bathroom, you got an issue. We need to talk after service. How are you using what you have? If you've got a wooden vessel and it's clean, it can be used for incredible things. And if you've got a gold or silver vessel and it's dirty, you don't want to eat it off of it. So the issue isn't whether what you're made of or who you are or what color you are or what race you are or what neighborhood you're in. The issue is whether you are clean or not. You with me? And so if we want to be used by the master, it's not a matter of what you're made of. It's a matter of whether you're clean or not. So let's jump into that and figure out what are the attributes of a clean vessel? So look at verse 14. Remind them of these things, he says, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but ruins the ears of the hearer. We're in a culture, we're in a time frame right now where it's easy to quarrel. It's easy to have words that are quarrelsome words. They're on the TV all the time. And the closer we get to next Tuesday, the more they're going to ramp it up. It's easy to quarrel about those types of things. You can quarrel about who's going to win the game tonight between the Indians or the Cubs. But really, at what point does it matter? I mean, truly. When we pull back and we try to get a perspective and we want to be used by God, does it really matter? It's a matter of being clean, not about being right. Hear it? It's a matter about being clean and ready to be used than to be right. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Irreverent babble. A lot of talk, not saying a whole lot. And then let's look at verse, 23. Jump down to 23 if you've got your Bible open. Verse 23 says this. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, among which those who call on the Lord from a pure heart have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant conversations. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. We love quarrelsome conversations. As a people, as a country, we seem to find ourselves into them more and more and more because we really do like to be right. And we really do like that when we seem to know something that nobody else knows, or when we can look more superior than somebody else by our words. And what Paul is telling Timothy is that that's not important. Remind the people that that's not a big deal. In fact, we need to guard our words. What comes out of our mouth needs to be uplifting, not demeaning. We also need to be clean in another way. We need to have clean character. When I think of character, I think about when somebody would describe you to somebody else, they would be describing your character. They're really a solid guy. They really care for other people. Oh, I'm somewhat embarrassed, but as Wes would talk about me in front of you, he's talking about character. And so take a look at verse 15. It says this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handled the word of truth. Do you have a need to be ashamed? Is your character such that as you stand before one another, as you interact with each other, as you would stand in your job, as you would stand in your family, as you would stand in your neighborhood, are you ashamed of who you are? God says you don't need to be ashamed. You're mine. Also take a look at verse 22. It says this. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, among which those who are called on the Lord from a pure heart. How's your heart? Do you have a pure heart? Are you seeking good things, godly things? Or are you seeking things of the world? That's the pure heart. Now we're talking character. What makes you up? Who are you really when nobody's looking? That's your character. And Paul's telling Timothy, remind them, character is important, who they are. And if they want to be used by God, it needs to be authentic. What you say and how you live need to line up, connected. So how do we become this vessel that God wants to use? Let me go back to verse 15 again. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So what does that mean for you and for me as far as our part in being approved, being used by God? Well, I think the first place we've got to start, do you know who God is? Do you have a relationship with his son Jesus? That's the very, very beginning, the basic piece. If you want to be used by God, you've got to really develop a relationship with him first. And so that's where I would tell you to start. How's your relationship with Jesus? How's your relationship with God himself? And then from there, we begin to look at how do we make ourselves clean? Well, what it says is for us to flee. Verse 22, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Flee youthful passions. As sin comes into your mind, as temptation comes into your mind, flee, run away, let it go. As people come around you and want you to participate in stuff that's not of God, flee. You don't need them. Get away from them. If you've got friends who are dragging you into stuff that's not good, they're not your friends. Flee. And then as you flee, start to invest in stuff that's good. Righteousness. Righteousness means to be right with God. Righteousness. Faith. What do you believe? What are you building your life on? Love and peace. If you want to be clean, if you want to be used by God, start with that relationship with Jesus. Get away from stuff that's polluting you. Get away from stuff that can drag you back into the sewer. And start to focus on stuff that can really begin to move you into a place where God can use you. If you are a people that are righteous, right with God, if you are a people that are faithful, if you are a people that love is something that really stands out of who you are, the world is going to take notice. Do you know how rare that is? When you come across somebody who loves unconditionally, who doesn't want something back in return, it's rare. And you can be that. And people want to be with people like that. So that's our part. But then God does something as well. He does his part. You know, he initiates the relationship with you. He put that desire in you through his spirit. He put people in your life that know Jesus and that want to draw you to Jesus. God is initiating a relationship with you. I let that sink in just a minute. This is the God of the universe. This is the God who spoke and created. He knows your name. He knows how you're made. He knows what's important to you. And he wants a relationship with you. The God of the universe loves you. and wants you to be a part of what he is doing in this world. He wants to forgive you. You can't be bad enough for him to turn his back on you. Now, you can't be good enough to earn it either, but you can't be bad enough for him to walk away from you. Folks, that's good news to me. He wants to forgive you. He knows who you are. He wants to forgive you, and he wants to use you. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing. I can't give you any better news than that. So there's a couple other things in here that I want us to at least pay attention to. Go back to verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the master of the house, ready for good works. Ready for the master to use you. Ready for the master to use you. He also is ready for you to be forgiven. So what if you knew Jesus? What if you were used by God, and then if you fell off the wagon, for such a, you know, to say something like that? You were doing so well, and now your life is not doing so well anymore. You find yourself eating lunch in the bathroom. You've got the wrong porcelain plate. So does God just walk away? Absolutely not. He's ready to forgive you and forgive you now. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. It'll take me a second to get there. 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 9. This is what it says. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who's the actor? If we confess our sins, that's our part. I blew it. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. We confess our sins. He, the Lord, is righteous, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. To be used by God, we need to be cleansed. This is how we get cleansed. Even if you've been there before and you've fallen off the wagon, even if you find yourself in tremendous guilt because you know where you are, confess your sins. And he can use you. He's forgiven you. And then there's this interesting piece about your opponents. Most of us would think that if we had an opponent, the idea is to win. To kind of make sure that our opponents know who's right. But that's not what Paul says. Look at verse 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, connecting his opponent with gentleness, or correcting his opponent with gentleness. Listen to this. Correcting his opponent with what? Gentleness. There's no screaming here. There's no yelling and throwing. There's no making sure that they understand that they're all screwed up. It's confronting with gentleness, correcting with gentleness. And then it's up to God to do the rest. You see what it says? It says, correcting his opponent with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Two things really just catch me there. Are we willing to go to the people who frustrate us, anger us, our opponents, and love them enough to correct them with gentleness? I want you to think about people who have hurt you, people who have done you harm, people who flat out you just don't like. God's calling us to be people of love, people of character, people that represent him. Are we willing to go to those people and correct them gently and then allow God to reestablish them, to forgive them, to maybe even bring them here, that you would be sitting next to your opponent, your enemy, the one who hurt you, for the kingdom's sake? Or would it be better for you to make sure that they go to hell? I mean, it's that black and white. You have an opportunity, if you truly have the love of Christ, to be able to see them the way that Christ sees them is a powerful, powerful thing. Christ loves them so much, yet he even died for them. Can we correct them gently that they might know him as well? So as I finish, I want to remind you, God wants to use you. God, the God of the universe, knows who you are. He loves you. He's forgiven you. You can't be bad enough for him to turn away from you. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing. Specifically, he wants you to be a part of what he's doing in your family, in this neighborhood, in the neighborhood that you live, in this church, in this city. He wants you to be a part of what he is doing in this place. Are you willing? Are you willing to flee from things that are not of God? To be a part of what God is? To love even your enemy, your opponent, and invite them in to the good news of Jesus Christ? Let me pray for us. Father God, I thank you that you didn't turn your back on us, but that you loved us enough to include us, to draw us, to make yourself known and available to us, and that you have forgiven us that we might then forgive others. And so, Father, we ask that you would use us, that you would give us the strength, the energy, and the wisdom to gently correct our opponents, our enemy, those who have hurt us, that you might actually do a good work in their lives, and that we might welcome them into fellowship with you. Father, thank you for Paul's love of Timothy, and that we could benefit from the letter he sent to him. In Jesus' name.